Egypt and then the Sinai this time of year. You can hear me a bit better now. But it never fails to, this time of year, we go through the Easter time, the Passover time, and the whole world is new, right? The rebirth of spring. I don't know, I think the Lord made it just for us, but hopefully it's the same way as they were crossing the Red Sea, that they saw a new birth coming there also. Well, we're back, as you know, in the book of Colossians. We've been away for a while, but we've had a good time. You know, it's a time of mixed feelings. Good Friday, and then Easter Sunday. You know, Good Friday in that our Lord had to come and die for the likes of us. Easter Sunday, as Jean was sharing with us this morning, you know, the celebration of Easter Sunday, where God is answering the need in that the prayer of His Son, the sacrifice of His Son, is such that it needed a special miracle, and He was alone was the firstborn from the dead, and then a few days later, looking for the ascension. So we have a good time, mixed feelings, but as we get into Colossians, we'll need to recap a bit. Have we been away for a while? Let's see if this thing works. Okay, good. Steve opened up the series back in January. That's 5 months ago. Wow. And introduced us to a church in Colossae. Now, this is a church that was in doctrinal turmoil. In such turmoil that, as we read in this morning's scripture reading, Epaphras, he was kind of driven out. He ran all the way to Rome to meet with Paul, who was there under house arrest. He went there to get some guidance on how to deal with all the contending voices enticing the Colossians to look away from the all-sufficiency of Christ and the supremacy of Christ in our lives. These voices were enticing them to look away from their freedom, from their practices of the Gnostics, with their false dependence on mystical arts, such as astrology, where we get the horoscope and what have you, the worship of angels and all that nonsense on the one side, and to the Judaizers on the other side, with their dependence on Jewish legalism, the restrictive laws that remove the Christian's freedom in Christ. Those voices were contending that their faith-based dependence on Christ and on His finished work to the dependence on doing works to become more and more spiritually acceptable to God. He ran away because of all those voices. Because some were listening to those voices and forgetting that we are indeed complete in Christ, our Savior. Paul responded by writing a letter, which we are studying today. He wrote this letter to the church at Colossae and to the surrounding churches at Laodicea and Hierapolis, reminding them of this supremacy of Christ. When we look at Colossians 1:15-20, we read, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For all things in heaven and on earth were created by Him, all things, whether visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions, whether principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. He Himself is before all things, and all things were held together in Him. He is the head of the body, the church, as well as the beginnings, the firstborn from among the dead, so that He may Himself become first in all things. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in His Son, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself by making peace through the blood of the cross, through Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven." Jesus, our Jesus, is the image of God, firstborn of all creation, eternal, head of the body, us. The firstborn from the dead, thus his supremacy, as God delighted to have the fullness of the Godhead dwell in him. Paul directs the reader of this letter to live a life that is worthy of our Lord Jesus, pleasing him by bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened, giving thanks always to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the kingdom of light. And as we are raised with Christ, we are to, reminded to, set our minds on the things above, set our hearts on the things above. For we die to our old self and are hidden in Christ. We are to rid ourselves of the old rags, our earthly nature, by focusing on the new clothes that are called love. For we are God's chosen people, destined to live in perfect harmony. Knowing that Jesus, our Christ, is all sufficient and totally supreme. So that's just a bit bringing us back up to speed on where we are in Colossians. But Paul wasn't finished with that. And Paul had a prayer request for us. And so today I've been given 3 verses. It's not too bad, right? 1 hour for each. I should get you out of here soon. The 3 verses are, devote yourself in prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Paul, the great apostle, Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, the one that was changed on the road to Damascus, needed our prayers. He needed the prayers of those in Colossae, of those in Laodicea. Paul needed the prayers of the church. His actions were to be ordained by God alone. He knew what it was to depend upon his own counsel. Depending on his own counsel before he was transformed, before he was saved, he was holding the cloaks of those stoning our brother Stephen. Depending on his own counsel, even after that, he sought to go into Asia and was prevented in doing so. He was praying, he says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Well, Paul too was eager for the door of opportunity to be opened for him and his partners for the furtherance of God's kingdom, to speak the good news of the mystery of Christ. But remember, left to his own will, he would have stayed in Asia. Remember, only several years earlier, he was not permitted to preach in Asia as he had planned, but God opened the door to Macedonia, to Europe instead. He told him he had to go to Philippi. Acts 16:6. And having passed through Phrygia and the Galatian countries, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, having come down to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. And having passed by Mysia, they descended to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There was a certain Macedonian man standing and beseeching him and saying, "Pass over into Macedonia and help us." And when he had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go forth to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to announce to them the glad tidings. And having sailed therefore straight away from Troas, we went in a straight course to Samothracia and the Moro to Neapolis, and thence to Philippi, which is the first city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city certain days. The gospel comes to Europe. His idea was to stay in his comfort zone, stay in Asia. Jesus wanted him to go speak to the people in Europe. The gospel came to Europe. Today you can cross the bridge at Istanbul to get there. Then they had to sail around. They had quite a ways to go. And if you think back, if you can think all the way back to the time of Noah's sons, that's Shem bringing the good news that was given through his grandsons, Abraham, back to his older brother, Japheth, who populated Europe. Said, "And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that way we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which we are in chains." What is that mystery of Christ? Well, it is the answer to the promise given to Abraham in Genesis 22:18. "Because you have obeyed me, all the nations of the earth will pronounce blessings on one another using the name of your descendants." Shem bringing to his older brother, the Europeans, the good news. What is the mystery of Christ? Ephesians 3:1-19 clarifies it even a little more. "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles," that's us, "if you indeed have heard the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, that by revelation the divine secret is made known to me. As I wrote before briefly, when reading this, you will be able to understand my insight into the secret of Christ. Now this secret was not disclosed to people by former generations, as it is now being revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Namely, that through the gospel, the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel according to the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the exercise of his power. To me, less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given to proclaim to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to enlighten everyone, about God's secret plan, a secret that has been hidden for ages in God, who has created all things." Paul was set aside to assure that you and I receive the good news. If there is anyone here today who has never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, it is not too late. You can be saved today. Don't leave here. If there's any doubt in your mind of your salvation, talk to one of the elders or myself. But for the rest of us who have accepted Jesus as a personal Savior, we have the good news because Paul crossed over into Europe, because he prayed and he asked for prayer, support, that he would be obedient to God's calling and go to Europe. Praise to his name. Paul asked, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Paul, under house arrest now, he could not go. His desire was to go, to get the message out. But he was under house arrest. So his prayers were that he could, that God would open a door for the message, probably in his mind, that he could go. Other miracles have happened. Jail doors have opened in the past. But if we look back, because we have that perfect hindsight, through his letters, he could encourage the church to pray for God to open the doors of the gospel. And it was these letters being read in the churches and finding their way in the Bible we have here today that the whole world has access to Spirit-filled prayers, warnings, instructions, and encouragement of Paul. Most of all, the good news is proclaimed boldly to all who will hear and read these letters. Somewhat similar is A.B. Simpson, who, I guess over 100 years ago now, wanted to go overseas but could not. So God used his heart's desire to reach the lost through establishing the Christian Missionary Alliance, where he could, and those like him, could pray for, equip, and send, and did send, countless, and continue to send, countless missionaries around the globe, sharing the gospel, and lives are being changed for eternity. Even our own Ed Hoyer puts out a newsletter. We don't know to what extent that newsletter travels the globe. We don't know to what extent God uses that newsletter to change lives for eternity. We all have a piece to play in the evangelism. Paul said, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so we can proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am changed. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Well, again, as in Ephesians and all his other letters, we have in our Bibles today these letters. He has his prayers and those of the church were answered through those letters being published in the Bible we have today. The Bible compiles them. We can digest them. We can dissect them, which we do here every week. But unfortunately, they were soon lost again to the elite that were trained in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Unfortunately, they were lost for many, many, many years. But God wasn't finished with the prayer of Paul, the prayer of the other apostles, the prayer of the saints, that the good news would be spread and spread globally. So Martin Luther, the Holy Spirit grabbed hold of him and a few others. I would have said the other three names, but one of them I can't pronounce. And as you hear today, my tongue stumbles over these funny names. Who finally fully understood that salvation was by grace and not by works. And the Reformation was born soon after, followed by the printing press. And today we have God's Word, Paul's letters, maintained for us to digest, to dissect, to grow upon, to share. God answers prayer. He answers it in his perfect way. Paul wasn't finished there. Paul had started it by saying, we need to devote ourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving, and then ask for prayer for himself. So he has prayer for us. As we've read this morning from Colossians 1, if you look at Colossians and Ephesians, they all open the same way. Paul walk the talk. He was full of thanksgiving, praying always for the saints. While we were requested to pray for Paul, God's mission for him and the clarity to expound the precious good news, the mystery hidden in him, hidden since Abraham, for which he was in prison, he further instructs us not to only pray for him, but to devote ourselves to prayer, to stay alert and watchful in prayer, and to pray in thanksgiving. This was the apostles' general advice to all. Without this, neither the wives, the husbands, children, parents, servants, nor masters could fulfill the duties which God, in their respective stations, required of them. Pink writes, "A prayerless Christian is a contradiction in terms. Just like a stillborn child is a dead one, so a professing believer who prays not is devoid of spiritual life. Prayer is the breath of the new nature in the saint, as the Word of God is its food." We are to pray, to devote ourselves to prayer. King James writes it this way, continue in prayer. In the NIV and NSB, we got devote yourself to prayer. Robertson Words Pictures in the ASV, continue steadfastly in prayer. Darby uses persevere in prayer. The Greek word is proskartio. And if you look at the definition for it, it is to adhere to one, to be devoted to or constant to one, to be steadfastly attentive, to continue, to preserve and not to faint, to be courageous, to be in constant readiness for one, wait on constantly. So if we wrap all that up, devoted to continue perseveringly in prayer, we shall be in constant communication with the Father. So that means it's not only when we rise in the morning or at bedtime as we lay our heads down to sleep. Grace before the meals, Wednesday night prayer meetings, or when we're called upon, but it is to be a constant communication with the Father, persevering in prayer. Our fellowship with the Godhead should be a constant communication. Persevering when we need to persevere, but in constant prayer. As things are happening around us, we are to be watchful. We hear of brothers and sisters who are ill. We should be in prayer immediately. We see when we get cut off. Us guys know what it feels like to get cut off. But instead of going into rage, first thought which should be coming to our minds is one of thanksgiving that God, we didn't get clipped. We were not in an accident. Our second one should be to pray for the young lady or young man that cut us off, that they would stay safe and not, see if he makes it all the way home the way he's driving. Is to pray for their safety. Pray for an opportunity for them to hear the gospel. We are to be observant of what's happening, for favorable opportunities to pray. Watch that your mind may be in the right frame when you pray. Watch that when your mind is in the right frame, that you neglect not to pray. Always being on guard, watchful of the Lord's leading, doors opening, new neighbors. We are in a new neighborhood, watching for the neighbors, getting a chance to say good morning, say hello, wave, smile as we're passing them on the street. Watchful of the world events. We have Sudan, Japan, the Middle East, all the unrest. We had all the tornadoes that hit the southern United States this week, almost 300 people losing their lives. where we see some churches destroyed, some untouched. You know, they need to be in our prayers, those families, those hurting families, that they are drawn to the Lord, that those who are believers, you know, become more steadfast in the graciousness of the Lord. We have, you know, all that unrest in the Middle East, unexplainable what's going on there and why it's going on. God knows. Maybe it's part of His plan. Maybe He knew it was going to happen. It's going to lead to where His plan is going. We are to be watchful what's going on and make it part of our prayers. New neighbors, making them part of our prayers. Doors opening. We in this new neighborhood is a door open to this neighborhood. Watchful here, just as it was in Colossae, for false teaching and misguided believers, so that we can show them the truth from the Word of God. Praying specifically for those things that the Holy Spirit brings to us as we watch. But also, at all times, we are to pray with thanksgiving for everything, whether joyful or sorrowful, mercies temporal and spiritual, national, family, and individual. In everything, we need to give thanks. We need to think thanks. Philippians 4:6, be careful about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Everything that happens in our lives, good or bad, needs to reach our Lord with thanks. He's allowed it to happen. We might not know why we're going through what we go through, or why others are going through what they're going through. We need to be thankful that God will be blessed at the end of the day. And in closing, Paul was led by the Holy Spirit, encouraging the Colossians and us to pray continuously for ourselves, our family, our neighbors, our church, the new open door, and our missionaries, and anything else the Holy Spirit brings to mind. To have an opportunity to share clearly the good news of Jesus Christ. I looked at Google Earth last week. I was going to put it up there, but it didn't show. From my house, there's approximately 9 to 10 houses, direct sight. I need to pray for each one of those houses as my starting point. We should all do the same. Will you take up that challenge today?
Not better.